going to get into some really good stuff today. And so let's go ahead and dive in with this. So there's a book written about 30 years ago, Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He was the pastor of Moody Bible Church. He's still on the radio. I actually heard him a week or so ago on the radio. And he wrote a book called One Minute After You Die. One Minute After You Die. And I heard about that years ago, and I thought, what a provoking thought, one minute after you die. And I want you to know something, that one minute after you die, the lights will still be on. You'll still be conscious. You'll still be aware of some things. And the decisions that you make now are going to impact what you experienced then. And so we've been looking at this. I in no way want to be morbid or upsetting or anything else. I just want to make you aware. I want to warn you. I want to help you be prepared and have some peace and confidence about all of this. So let's start out with Ecclesiastes. We'll review just a little bit here. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 2. And everybody read this first part with me. Everyone will die someday. Now, if you leave here and go to lunch or something or the store and somebody said, well, what'd you get out of church today? Everybody's going to die. hold on, because there's more to the message, okay? Everyone will die someday. Death comes to godly and sinful people alike. It comes to good and bad people alike. And as I said, my goal is for you to have concerning our eternity, to have some peace, to have some confidence. And I also want to stir you, I want to jar you even a little bit to live a little more with eternity. Yourself. I'm sorry, I'm sure you're cute. To live more with eternity in mind, because too many people do not. Now again, we're reviewing, and let's review over something, and let me tell you why I review. I'm reviewing because a lot of you are here all the time. Some of you are on a rotation. There's a lot of great things. God is on the move, as I said. He's on the move in so many ways. And the Bible, which has been a number one bestseller since it was for sale, is hitting records. People are ordering Bibles, buying Bibles, just in incredible numbers. There's a spiritual hunger that is awakened. There's also a huge trend of young men heading to church, which is a beautiful thing. And churches, for the most part across the country, there's some surge that's going on in attendance. We're watching that as well, and we're trying to steward that very, very well. But there's still cycles of people, because we live in a busy, make-me-happy culture that people aren't here all the time. And I think you should be, okay? Now, you're not under bondage, you know, not feeling good, or you've got a weekend off, things. I understand that, I understand. But the habit, the general practice and habit of your life should be to get yourself in to the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. But there are people that still, just because of life and so forth, they cycle so that about a third of the church will only be here once a month. And then there's about a fourth of the church that is going to be rotating every week. And so I'm going to review. And we're going to steward things well so that you can get it online, you can get it in other ways, you know, throughout the week to go back. Because the main thing is to get the word to you. But I want to call you all to make sure that in these last days that so much the more it's important that you get your rear in here, okay? That will help you remember what we're talking about. So let me review just real quick, and you know this, but some of you may not know this. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And so you, that's the real you, is your spirit. That's the real you. That's an eternal part of you. When you are born again, that's the part that the Holy Spirit regenerates and brings new life to you, new birth to your spirit. Then you have and your spirit is eternal. I believe then you have a soul. That's will, intellect, emotions, subconscious, memory. That's where you think and feel and decide and remember and imagine. That's a very important part of you. That's how you kind of express your soul or your spirit rather in this world. I believe, and I believe scripture supports, that part of you goes with the eternal part of you as well. And then you live in a body, and your body is not eternal. But you need to take good care of your body. You need to take better care of your body. You need to fuel it well, rest it well, move it well, exercise it well, take good care of your body. But you got to understand, one day, just like your new car, it's going to rust out. It's going to be up in blocks on somebody's yard. No, I'm joking, but we opened up with it. One day, everybody is going to die. But the real you didn't die, because the real you is your spirit / soul, but your body dies at that point. And the real you, the spirit and soul, lives forever, never dies. Also, by way of review, what you believe about eternity determines how you live today. Read it with me. What you believe about eternity determines how you live today. And you say, well, that's just a belief. No, this is an important belief that translates into a decision, which is an eternal decision. So what you believe about eternity determines how you live today. Second part of that, what you believe about Jesus in this life determines what you will experience once you die, 1 minute after you die. So when you die, your physical body dies. Your spirit and your soul then separate from your physical body. I've been there, I don't know how many times. When a person has passed, family members, loved ones, people from the church, as a sheriff's chaplain, some tragic situations, and to be in those situations, and you can sense in that moment when the person passes, you can sense that something has happened. And what happens is that spirit, eternal spirit, leaves, separates from the body. We don't know all the details of that, because that's kind of out of our sight and out of our reach. Scripture gives us some insight. We don't know all the details, but we do know this, that for the believer, for a person who has accepted Jesus as Savior, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you're either, once you're absent, you are, let's try it again, once you're absent, you are present. And so that's a right away kind of thing. Now, talked about this last week. I don't want to talk too much about this week. So for the believer, to be absent from the body is present with the Lord. For the unbeliever, to be absent from the body is actually to be in hell, separated. And that death is separation from God. And that's hard, but that's true. What I want to do something a little unusual right now in the service. I want to pray. And this is what I believe the Lord put on my heart, that he's going to put in your heart and in your mind in this moment somebody that's in your life that you're not sure if when they died they would go to heaven. And we want to pray that God will begin to really draw them. Because how many of you know this? It's the Holy, nobody comes unless the Holy Spirit draws. And that they would respond to that. And so, would you just close your eyes for a second? And I believe somebody's going to come to your heart and your mind. Somebody in your life, you're not sure that if they died, they would go to heaven. Father, I thank you that by your Spirit, you're prompting our hearts and our minds to somebody that matters to us, that also matters to you, that might not be ready for heaven. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to zero in on them, to move in their life, to touch them, to show them that you are real, that you love them. Wake them up. Stir them. Organize things, all kinds of things right in front of them so that they can't deny. And Holy Spirit, block out the enemy and shine through the darkness that's blinded them and help them to see. And if we're to do anything, we'll pray. But if we're to do anything else, Lord, show us. We'll do it. And just by the eye of faith, we thank you in advance that you bring them to yourself and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said. Amen. Amen. Continue to pray for them too, okay? Now, so to be absent from the body as a believer is to be, again, present with the Lord. And let's look at some really interesting things regarding this. Let's go to, first of all, let me remind you, everybody spends forever somewhere. Everybody. And we only have these two choices here. So I just want to tell you, don't go to hell. Especially when we have this other option to go to heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has, come on, imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. If I have a subtitle for today, it would be this. Heaven is beyond imagination. Heaven is just beyond imagination. How many of you know that people can be pretty imaginative? I mean, and just the imagination that God has given people is just unreal. And some people become so creative and think of things and solve problems and build things and decorate things and come up with new ideas. It's amazing. But I want you to know that heaven is way beyond anything that we could ever, ever imagine. And so I want us to look at this. I know there's a song out, I Can Only Imagine, and I can't even imagine how many times I've heard it. And the lyrics are incredible, but I had a couple people, you need to sing it. And I said, well, we'll talk about it, and then you can find it on Spotify. But it is actually an incredible song. But whatever you can imagine about heaven, look at me, heaven's better. Whatever you could imagine about heaven, heaven is actually better. Flip side, whatever you could imagine about hell, it's worse. It's way, way worse. And think about that. Well, I can imagine some pretty good things. But let's ground this, okay? Everybody put your hands together like that. That is the approximate size of your brain. Please make any necessary adjustments on the size. That's all we got. And so we can imagine some incredible things with that. But I'm telling you, Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, heaven is way beyond anything that we could imagine. Amen? Amen. Now, when a believer dies, and we've established this, to be absent is to be present. But here's the thing. I die, my body ceases to function. My spirit, my soul, absent, present. I go into the presence of God. But how do I get there? How do I get there? What do I do now? You know, body, what do I do now? And I want to share some thoughts here. First of all, Psalm 116, verse 15. It says, first word?
Precious.
One more time?
Precious.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The Amplified Bible renders that important and no light matter. Can I tell you something? When a believer in Jesus dies, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. This is the most historical pivotal event in your life when you die. And that transition, and can I tell you something? It has been fought over. So that what happens when you die, that has been hotly contested and fought over for generations. The enemy worked in your family. The enemy worked in your life. The enemy worked in generations to try to get unbelief and doubt in your family, to try to get you sour on God, to try to orchestrate your steps so that you get bound up by something so you don't even feel worthy to look to God or whatever it would be. That is an important moment. And for God, one who accepts his son, the death of one of his saints, one of his loved ones, is important. It's a big deal. It's no light matter. Then look in Luke 16, verse 22, and we're talking about how do we get there? You know this story. I believe it's an account. I don't actually believe that it's a parable because people are actually named in it, which doesn't happen in the other parables. There's some other aspects of it too, but Luke 16, this is the parable of the rich man and the beggar, and remember the rich man goes to Hades, and the beggar, and it has nothing to do with wealth or being a beggar or whatever. The beggar dies, and we pick up in Luke 16, 22. Are you with me?
Yes.
It says, so it was that the beggar died and was, help me, carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Carried by the angels. Now, there's no definitive scriptural proof that that's what happens for all of us, but why would he get carried? I want to know. I'd raise my hand. Why does he get carried? In the New Testament Greek, it means to move or to transport. To move or to transport, which indicates there has to be some kind of transport. Something has to happen. I don't know what to do, but I think it'd be pretty awesome if angels carried us. And remember my title, Heaven is Beyond Imagination? Can you imagine this, being transported by angels? I mean, your body just turned off, and then all of a sudden, there's angels there? Come on, wouldn't you want to like, hey, slow down, guys. I want to check this out. This is awesome. Just that. Now, I've heard a few credible stories from some people that have had some interaction with angels. I've read some other stuff, and then I've heard some really whack job stories. And nothing we need to exaggerate, but I'm telling you what, one day I believe, and there are a lot of biblical scholars that believe this as well, that when we are absent from the body to get present with the Lord, we are moved or transported by angels. I think that's pretty awesome. I said, I think that's pretty awesome. I think I'd do this whole thing just for that. Now, I have done, I don't know how many, I should have counted, hundreds of funerals over my time in ministry. And over the years, there's some things that I work into every funeral service that I do. Here's a little bit that I've used, I don't know how many times, but I feel it's important to share. Christians don't really die. It looks like dying from this end, but in reality, they blink their eyes and open them suddenly to behold the presence of God and his eternal glorious heaven. Life for the Christian does not end at the grave. For we know that if this earthly house, this tent, our bodies, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Death is not what we thought it to be at all. It is closing the door to earth and opening the door to heaven. It is like slipping through a curtain. It is putting off an old suit and dressing in a beautiful new garment. Death is going to sleep on a cold wintry night and then waking to find the sun always shining. Heaven. Heaven is the habitation of God, and heaven is the destination of believers. It's where God lives. How many of you, you know, I wonder what their place is like. I wonder what God's place is like. You know, some people you can tell, I bet their house is so orderly and clean and this and that. And then you have some other people that go, I wonder what their house is like. Okay. But God's house, it's the habitation of God and it's the destination of believers. We find from Scripture that there are actually three heavens. Let's sort it out. The first heaven, first mentioned in Genesis 1:20, is atmospheric. It's atmospheric. But it's translated heaven in the Scripture. There are heavens. It's the sky. It's the clouds. It's where the birds are. It's the air that it surrounds us. The second heaven, there's some people that hold that the second heaven is the stars and the planets and so forth. And that's fine because you have levels of atmosphere, but I believe it's something different, and I believe Scripture supports that. The second heaven is actually a realm of spiritual darkness. They don't necessarily materially, physically stack on one another, but we have the heavens that are above us. Isaiah talks about that as far as the God's thoughts are and ways are far above us, as far as the heavens are above the earth, and that's talking about atmospheric. And then in Ephesians 6:12, it says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But are y'all with me? But against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies or heavenly places. And that's referred to as the second heaven. Third heaven is the habitation of God. Paul said that I was caught up into the third heaven. John wrote the revelation of the book of Revelation from heaven. He was still alive, but he got caught up and he looked down from that vantage point of heaven. I believe that heaven is up. It's up. It's also, there's indication that it's north, but I don't think it's like New Hampshire or something, but it's north and it's up, and where that is not really the issue for us. But get this though, Jesus descended from heaven and took on the form of a servant. We'll celebrate that at Christmas. And then after the resurrection, he ascended back into heaven. And then day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven. And then when you or I, when we die or if we fly, we will ascend into heaven, into the third heavens. Heaven is a real and literal place, not a figment of our imagination, not a concept we came up with. It's a real and literal place. Heaven contains so many things that we're familiar with. We'll get to heaven and we'll see things and go, yeah, yeah. And we'll see those things because I believe, who created Earth? I believe we'll see his style. Earth is his taste. Earth is his style. We're going to see colors. They'll be more vivid there. We'll see plants and water and animals and so forth. I'll get into that. But heaven contains things we're familiar with. And guess what? Heaven's going to contain things that we have no idea. What is that? But how many of you know in heaven it's going to be pretty awesome? Are y'all with me? It's going to be pretty awesome. And so heaven is beyond imagination. And I think we'll get there and we'll see a something and we'll just go, wow. Holy wow. You know, when we go to an amusement park or a garden or, you know, some kind of whatever, and we've got the little guide and we're looking, okay, there's the gorilla and there's this and there's that, and we just go through and we just rush through. But heaven, there's no time, okay? And so we get there and I think we're just going to go, hold on, I just want to look at this. I just want to smell this. I just want to see this. But there'll be things there we have no idea what they are. John, in writing the book of Revelation, he tried to describe things. He goes, I'm not sure what it is, but it kind of looks like a this and kind of like a that. And he put together some pretty incredible combinations. I'm telling you, there's going to be some real surprises in heaven. Heaven is a city. It's a perfect four-square city, 1,400 miles square. Walls of jasper, 216 feet thick. It has a city and streets of pure gold, which is mostly clear. There are 12 gates on the walls of the city. Each gate is one giant pearl each. It contains food. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You will rest there. You will be at rest there. There are trees, rivers, parks, animals, seas, streets, gems, colors, rainbows. The presence of God will be there. Jesus, face to face, Jesus will be there. Angels will be there. And if you have believers that have gone in, family members, loved ones that were believers, there'll be reunion with them. They will be there when we get there. Let me tell you some things that are not in heaven. No more death. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more sickness, no more failure, no more fear, no more stress, no more anxiety, no more sleepless nights, no more bills, no more nosy neighbors or noisy neighbors, no enemies, no trouble. There's no sun or moon, there's no locked gates, there's no night, there's no tears, no sickness, no pain. No time, no abuse, no heartache, no disappointment, no violence, no injustice, nothing that defiles. No one and nothing can mess it up. There's no strife, no discord, no evil, no hate, no pride, no lust, no lies. Heaven is the absence of everything bad, painful, and evil. And heaven is the presence of everything good, holy, and glorious. It's called the paradise of God. The primary activity in heaven is worship. Now, you'll have tasks. You'll have fellowship. You'll enjoy things. There's things to do. You will not be a little fat, half-naked angel playing a harp. Set the record straight. The primary activity in heaven is worship. And the Bible describes that worship as vibrant, loud, loaded with music. There's bowing, there's falling down, there's raising hands, there's loud, beautiful voices, there's dancing. It's joyful, it's a celebration. It'll be filled with awe and wonder. And worship will be a central activity, not because it's scheduled or required. Like when you check in, they won't say, now remember, get your chapel credits, show up for worship 3 times a week. You don't have that. It's not because it's scheduled, it's not because it's required. It's because the beauty of God will be there, the presence of God will be there. You'll have such an awareness of His love, of His goodness, of His greatness. You'll see the beauty of holiness. You'll see the Creator. You'll see the Redeemer. You'll see the Savior. It will be so absolutely overwhelming and intense, you will just simply worship. You'll just see Him and you'll worship. It'll be the central activity. It will not be boring, I promise you that. Heaven is beyond imagination. Let me tell you, this world is not our home. And it's feeling less and less like home all the time. It's getting pretty crazy out there, y'all. And so don't love the world or the things in the world. Love God and realize this, accept this, even embrace this. We are just strangers. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. I said our citizenship is in heaven. We are now ambassadors, and an ambassador gets all their support from their homeland. So in this earth, my support comes from the homeland. My protection and safety comes from the homeland. And my standards come not from this world, not from Hollywood, not from Washington. My standards come from heaven and from God Almighty. And so we've got to know this. Our citizenship, yes, we have dual citizenship. But I'm most excited about citizenship in heaven. Let me read this again. 1 minute after you slip behind the parted curtain, you will either be enjoying a personal welcome from Christ or be catching your first glimpse of gloom as you have never known it. Either way, your future will be irrevocably fixed and eternally unchangeable. There's a forever decision you've got to make. It has to be made now. Because you don't know, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but you don't know when you'll die. You don't know. And once you, that 1 minute after the decisions have already made, they matter now. Alicia and I were in a restaurant the other day, and I got there before she did, and the booth that they set us at, I mean, the vent right over us was so cold. And I thought, I'm going to ask to be moved. I won't go into the whole story. We ended up not moving because it turned off. And then it came back on. It turned off. But you can't end up. You can't end up in the wrong place and say, hey, could I be moved? It's done. It's set. You have to decide now. Because 1 minute after you die, you're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. Honestly. Good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. And there's only one that can save you and forgive you, and that is the Savior, and He is Jesus. And God made a way that we could go to heaven. And God made a way that we could escape hell. And in John 14:6, Among other places, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. I want to encourage you today, give your life to Jesus. And then live your life for Jesus. You're going to have such peace and help and confidence. And then one day, you go to heaven. And you'll realize that 1 minute after you die. And I want to do everything within my power, with all the faith I have, that anybody that I can influence, I want you on this side of it all to make that decision. Like I said, good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. You need a Savior, and He is Jesus. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this? I pray so.